All right, looks like we are right at 10. We are recording?
We are recording.
All right, we're now on the record. Good morning, everyone. I'm Susan Drummond, Benton County Hearing Examiner. It is April 19, 2024, Friday morning, 10 a.m. We have three items on today's agenda. I'll hear the two accessory dwelling unit proposals first, because I don't think those will take very much time, and then we'll move to the mining operation, which is will be the third item on the agenda. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding, so that just means it's somewhat formal. So when you testify, I will swear you in. I will formally admit exhibits. Also, the appearance of fairness doctrine applies, and so that means that I cannot have any conflicts of interest that would impair me from rendering a fair and impartial decision. I do not have any that I'm aware of, but if there are any concerns now, of course, is the time to raise those. In terms of the order of procedure, typically I'll hear first from the planning department. The department will provide a summary of the proposal. Then we'll turn to the applicant, and the applicant providing the additional details that they wish to do so. Then we'll open the matter up for public comment, and anyone who is present in the hearing room or online may submit comment on the proposal. I'll limit public comment to kind of a time frame. Looks like we don't have too many people, so I can be a little bit flexible with that, but typically it's about 3 to 5 minutes for public comment. And then following public comment, the applicant will have an opportunity to address any concerns which arise. Sometimes I will keep the record open. It depends on the nature of the proposal. On the ADU type proposals, typically the record is not, but we'll just see if there's any outstanding questions on any of those. And then I render a decision within 10 business days that is emailed to the planning department, and then the department will email or if requested mail the decision out to applicant and anyone who is interested in having a copy of the decision. I should briefly just summarize in terms of the criteria I review. Those are identified in the staff report, and of course the actual language is online in the Benton County Code. The ADUs have specific criteria that have to be met. They also meet the CUP criteria. The mining proposal also has to meet the CUP criteria. And there are five separate components of that, but just as a very high level summarize. Essentially, I'm looking at compatibility with surrounding uses, avoidance of material detriment, and adequate supporting infrastructure. And that's just a very brief summary. And again, that's detailed in the staff report. And I should note, we are proceeding both live as well as online. If anyone online has any difficulty hearing anyone speaking, you may speak up or notify the clerk. Please do not use the chat feature to submit evidence. I have no access to the chat feature, so it won't be received and admitted or reviewed by me. But you can use the chat feature to contact the clerk to address any technical issues that arise. And if those arise, we'll halt the proceeding and fix those and then get started again. Are there any procedural questions before we get started? Okay. All right, we will start with the first ADU proposal. That is CUP ADU 24-005, proposed by Philip Van Ruyen. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Somewhat. It's Van Ruyen. It's the Dutch pronunciation. Van Ruyen is also good.
Van Ruyen? That's a little closer. Okay. I believe, Ms. Kurtz, you are... summarizing the proposal?
Yes, I am.
If you could state your name for the record.
Elizabeth Kerner.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. Let's see, in terms of records that are documents that I've received so far, they are numbered HEM 1.1 through HEM 1.2. Those are all admitted. Was there anything else I should have at this point?
I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. You may proceed when you are ready.
Okay. The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-005 on February 2nd, 2024. The owner/applicant, Philip Van Ruyen, is proposing to construct an 800-square-foot accessory dwelling unit. The property is approximately 1 acre in size and is located in the Rural Lands 1 acre district off of East Tatum Boulevard in the Kennewick area of unincorporated Benton County. The ADU will be accessory to an existing 2,975-square-foot single-family dwelling. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to the reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. The following comments of note were received during agency review. The Benton County Public Works Department mentioned that there is a drainage easement that runs along the north and east property lines that should be taken into consideration when doing landscaping. The Benton POD wanted to ensure that the applicant reached out to them for any power needs. The Benton County Building Division commented that the proposed dwelling unit must meet all adopted Benton County building and fire codes. And the Benton County Fire Marshal noted that the proposed dwelling unit must comply with Benton County Code 3.18.045 with sufficient fire apparatus access and possibly a turnaround. In summary, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 22 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Kerner. I do not have any questions for you. I believe the applicant is present. Was there anything that you wanted to add to the staff summary of your proposal? If so, I'll have you step up to the podium and I'll swear you in.
No, not really. I'm from South Africa and this is a serious learning experience for me. But what I've heard is what the application is.
Okay.
There's no objections. I don't have any objections.
Okay. All right. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone present in the hearing room or online who would like to submit comment on this proposal? And I don't see anyone in the hearing room who wishes to comment.
No one online.
And let the record reflect that there was no one online who would like to submit comment on this proposal. So I have reviewed the staff report and the attached exhibits for this. I believe that the criteria that are specific to the ADU are met. I also believe that the CUP criteria are met. Yes, if you can step at the podium so we can make sure we capture that, just to make sure we get everything.
Can you just say to me what CUP means?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so that's an abbreviation for conditional use permit. Which is what you're requesting. So yes, sorry for the use of the acronyms. Land use is unfortunately filled with those. And just for the record, that was the applicant, Mr. Van Ruyen, speaking. I do believe the criteria for the request are met, so I will be granting the conditional use permit request. And as noted, decision will be out within 10 business days, probably before then, but it will be sent to the planning department and then forwarded to the applicant. Anyone else who requests a copy? Any procedural questions before we move to the next agenda item? Okay. All right. So the next item on the proposal is CUP ADU 24-006. This is our proposal from Dan and Melanie Downward. And Ms. Kerner, I think you are presenting on that. Okay. You're sworn in, so you remain under oath. And just on the exhibits for that, I received HEM 1.1, which is the staff memo, all the way through HEM 1.10. Those are all admitted. Was there anything else that I should have? No. Okay.
The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-006 on March 1st, 2024. The applicant, Pillar Construction LLC, on behalf of the owners, Dan and Melanie Downard, is proposing to construct an 800-square-foot accessory dwelling unit. The property is approximately 5.13 acres in size and is located in the Rural Lands 5-acre district off of East Pendleton Road in the Benton City area of unincorporated Benton County. The ADU will be accessory to an existing 3,286 square foot single family dwelling. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division did not receive any comments opposed to the proposal. The following comments of note were received during agency review. The Benton REA noted that there is an existing power line running southwest to the northeast across the eastern part of the parcel. The easement is 10 feet from either side of the center line of these power lines, making a 20-foot wide easement. And the Benton County Rural Water Supply Coordinator commented that the proposed dwelling unit is within the Rural Water Supply Program. All new dwelling units within the mitigation area are required to obtain a mitigation certificate and meter their water usage through a meter approved by the county and pay an annual program fee in the amount set forth by the resolution adopted by the Board of County Commissioners. In summary, the planning staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the suggested 23 findings of fact and 5 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Kerner. I do not have any questions for you. Is the applicant present? Yes. Did you wish to add anything to the staff summary of your proposal?
No.
Okay. All right. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone present in the hearing room or online who would like to comment on this proposal? I don't see anyone in the hearing room who would like to comment.
Nobody online.
All right, let the record reflect that there was no one online who would like to comment on this proposal. So as with the earlier ADU, I reviewed the staff report and the exhibits, and I do believe that they documented consistency with both the ADU specific criteria as well as the conditional use permit criteria. So I will be approving CUP 2024-006. Decision will be out within 10 business days, forwarded to the planning department, and then that will be provided to the applicant. Anyone who requests a copy. Any procedural questions? No? Okay. All right. So for both of the ADU applicants, you are welcome to stay for the next proposal, but there's no requirement to do so since we've completed those two items on the agenda. Okay. All right. So we will now move to our last agenda item. This is CUP 2024-004. It's a quarry expansion proposed by JUB Engineers. In terms of the exhibits so far, I've received HEM 1.1, which is the staff memo, all the way through 1.14. I believe there was a comment that came in either yesterday or today, yeah. And I think you'll be numbering that. Probably HEH 1.1. Sometimes the numbering will be adjusted. I defer
that. That is correct.
Yeah, okay. All right. And Ms. Watts, I believe you're presenting on this. Okay, I'll go ahead and swear you in. If you could state your name for the record.
Andrea Watts.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. And if I didn't say it, HEM 1.1 and 1.14, as well as the HEH 1.1, change the acronyms on the exhibit. But those are all limited, and you may proceed when you're ready.
Okay. The Planning Division received the application for CUP 2024-004 on February 1st, 2024. Interstate Concrete and Asphalt is requesting a conditional use permit to expand an existing quarry operation in the Kennewick area of unincorporated Benton County, located within the Growth Management Act Agricultural Zoning District. The operation currently has a mineral extraction permit for a mining and gravel pit operation. This CUP proposes to expand the project area to match the current property boundary of 360 acres and include additional quarry operations. These additional quarry operations shall occur in six phases and include excavation and crushing of approximately 18 million cubic yards of basalt and the development of a concrete and asphalt plant with concrete and asphalt recycling capabilities. The proposal includes construction of a scale house, office, shop, a warehouse with multiple storage areas, and a material sales yard for landscaping and hardscaping materials, along with vehicle parking. The property is currently surrounded by vacant land and agricultural uses. The Planning Division has met all required public notice timelines, including submitting the application to reviewing agencies for comment and mailing the notice of hearing to property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel. The Planning Division received public comments opposed to the expansion due to potential environmental impacts such as conversion of land use, changes to the landscape, loss of habitat, noise, dust, blasting effects, erosion, and groundwater contamination. The following agency comments were received during our review process. The Washington State Department of Natural Resources will require the proponent to apply for an expansion to their existing surface mine reclamation permit. The Washington State Department of Transportation requires that the property owner obtain an access connection permit. Additionally, DOT stated that it is the applicant's responsibility to keep and maintain SR 397 and other highways free of their debris. Any spilled material shall be promptly cleaned up and at the applicant's expense. The Benton County Planning Division requires that the conditions associated with the SEPA environmental assessment are met prior to granting of the CUP. With that, the planning staff is recommending approval of this application subject to the suggested 22 findings of fact and 18 conditions of approval as outlined in the staff report. The applicant has recently submitted a memorandum wishing to adjust some of the conditions outlined within the staff report, to which the Benton County Planning Manager, Michelle Mercer, would like to take a moment to address.
Okay. All right. Ms. Mercer, do we have you online?
Yes, I am present.
Okay, I'll go ahead and swear you in. If you could state your name for the record.
Michelle Mercer.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Okay, and I did review that letter that the applicant had submitted. And there may have been a little bit of confusion in terms of how the county code operates at, I think it's what, 1150.050 in terms of the Benton County is a little unique in terms of issuance of the decision, right, having a year to meet conditions. And then, but all of the conditions do stay in place for the duration of, for, you know, the life of the use. And it's the reason why the county does that is every year there's always a few permits that don't go forward. They're essentially abandoned. And so they'll come back before me for a null and void permit because the applicant has essentially abandoned the use, is typically kind of what happens. So that's kind of an explanation on the background on that. And so Ms. Mercer, I just wanted to note that because that, I didn't know if that was one of the issues you'd be addressing, but you may proceed when you are ready.
Thank you. As you mentioned, I will be reviewing the memorandum issued by Winston and Cashett dated April 18th, 2024. Staff received this late yesterday afternoon. I would just like to go through it for the hearing examiner due to the fact that some of the points raised in this memo has planning staff concerned. And if no hours of operation are imposed, planning staff will be recommending disapproval of this permit due to the lack of incompatibility with outright allowed uses in the zone. So first, I'd like to point out that planning staff worked with the applicant to establish all of the recommended hours of operation, and those were set in conjunction with the applicant. Staff did not present those unilaterally without input from the applicant. So this request to remove those is new to the planning staff. With that, the memo points out that the proposal is similar to seasonal operation, farming operations. Farming operations in the zone are outright allowed use. They are typically 24/7, only 8 to 12 weeks. And so I would say that the proposal to have no limitation or conditions of hours on operation would be incompatible with existing uses that are outright allowed. With that, we would continue to support and encourage hours of operation to be established. In this zone, the planning department has seen a number of mining CUPs come through our office in the last 10 to 20 years. All of them have hours of operations and limitations on 27 limitations on operations that exceed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we would like to keep our consistency with limiting hours of operation and operations that are 24/7. If the applicant wishes to amend the hours that they originally proposed with planning staff, we would be open to hearing that and would support that. I did want to point out that the applicant requested to eliminate the time to issue the, or time to meet the conditions of approval. Again, this is unusual for the planning staff, and I would say that they have the opportunity to request an extension, so that would be necessary if they don't feel like they could meet those conditions of approval within 1 year. However, staff supports keeping the time limit of the conditions of approval so that we can ensure that progress is being made before issuing the conditional use permit. That being said, the applicant currently has an existing permit that is allowed, and they can continue to operate under those provisions while they are still meeting the conditions of approval of this expansion. I would again like to point out that this expansion is quite large, and the size and the scope and the scale are a lot more intense than what was originally proposed 20 years ago. The applicant under number 5 requests a revision to finding number 10, and county staff has no objection to the wording that they proposed. They also propose new wording for finding number 11. Staff is okay with that. However, I would like to reword that to say a scale house, office, shop, and warehouse with multiple storage areas and material sales yard for landscape, hardscape material, and vehicle parking are proposed to be constructed subject to the approval of building permits. Staff is not comfortable with saying that these things are allowed under this finding. Again, under number six, staff would like to point out that removing hours of operation is inconsistent with other decisions in the past, and staff does not support the removal of findings 13 through 15, nor the revisions as proposed within this memo. Staff would prefer that hours of operation be established due to other outright allowed uses and other incompatibilities that we've had with operations of this type in the past. Lastly, under number seven, 4A, staff is okay with the revised verbiage. Again, staff is okay with the revised verbiage in 4B, outlining that it's that notice will be given for 24/7 operations. And under 4C, staff did not see any changes that were made, and the wording was the same as within the staff report. With that, that is our summary of the memo that was presented yesterday.
Thank you, Ms. Burscher. I did have one question for staff. That would be either Ms. Watts or Ms. Burscher. Either is fine. And that was just whether the existing conditions with the existing CUP, do they stay in place, or would the new CUP kind of supersede all of that? It would just be one permit.
Michelle?
So my understanding is that the applicants may continue their operations under the existing CUP up until a new CUP is issued, and that time that new CUP would make the previous one null and void, and it would be essentially overtaken by the new CUP as presented.
Okay. Yeah, I should probably, it doesn't look like the old CUP is in the record. I should probably get a copy of that as well as the SEPA checklist. I don't think either of those, I didn't see either of those. Okay, anything further from staff?
Nope. Again, we would just like to reiterate that in the last 20 years since the previous conditional use permit was approved and permitted, development has changed and our zoning and regulations have changed, and we staff would like to remain consistent with how we issue conditional use permits of this nature, including establishing hours of operation due to the numerous issues that we've had over the course of the years with the GMA ag zone and mining operations.
Thank you, Ms. Mercer. All right, so at this point, we'll turn to the applicant. I don't know who for the applicant is presenting, but.
I will start. There'll be a few of us.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I'll go ahead and swear you in.
Okay.
If you could state your name for the record.
Justin Berlocker with JUB Engineers.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you. If you can spell, let's see, Jason, J-A-S-O-N.
Justin.
J-U-S-T-I-N. Okay. And then if you could spell your last name.
B-A-E-R-L-O-C-H-E-R.
Okay. Thank you. All right, you may proceed when you're ready.
All right. I am the agent for Interstate Concrete and Asphalt, the applicant, who is the applicant and the owner of the site. Just wanted to make that clarification. There's a little bit of confusion in the process of who the actual applicant was. So we helped prepare the application packet for the mineral extraction and the conditional use permit and the site plan, and can answer any questions regarding the application. Again, this is the request for an expansion of an existing permit. And it's this site, along with an adjacent site that was combined, are identified in the comprehensive plan as a long-term significant mineral resource site within the county. And the intent after conditional use permit approval is to proceed forward with a mineral resource protection of the site.
And is that a legislative determination that you're seeking, that you may seek in future, just to clarify?
It's a process through the county, and it's a staff approved.
Okay, process. So it's, yeah, but not before me at this today.
It's not before you today.
Okay, thank you.
And it was our instruction from staff to get the conditional use permit approval first, and then we'd go forward with the mineral resources protection, which would provide notice to properties surrounding the site that this is a mineral resource site, in this long-term use.
There was an addendum, I think, in the application, but I didn't see it in the packet that I received. And I didn't know if that would be something that would be helpful for me to have or not. It was just a reference. Maybe there wasn't an addendum, though. I just found a reference in the application to an addendum to the application that addressed that. So.
No, there's an additional, I forget the term that you use, but it's an additional form for the mineral extraction portion of the permit that's added to the conditional use permit.
Okay.
I'm
keeping the record open. Uh-huh. So since I didn't see the addendum in there, maybe I missed it, but then if you all or the planning department can submit that, then
okay.
That might be helpful.
And then I guess just a little clarification and summary of like what the intent is. This site was originally approved for mineral extraction in 2001 was for 50 acres. At that time, SR 397 was not constructed, and access to the site was directly off of the exit of the freeway. Since the approval and the construction of the highway, the site was split. From the highway, and mining has always occurred on the south end of the site, south side of the highway. The intent here at this time, the applicant has purchased additional property, done a boundary line adjustment for more property to the south end and want to expand their uses towards the south because of those changes to the road. As far as the staff report, we generally agree with the staff report. Again, we had submitted the memo yesterday with the items that were just previously discussed, requesting modifications to the application. Just a quick note, it was identified that there was 14 items in the memo. There's actually, it was adjusted yesterday, and there's 15.
I may be looking at the wrong. Thank you for that. Yes, you're correct on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the original one I printed, not the most recent. Okay. So yeah.
And then just a clerical change on page 2 of the staff report. It still references HEM 1.14 as part of the notice, and that has been now changed to 1.15.
Thank you for those clarifications.
And then we do have Elizabeth Tilson who performed or wrote the memo as well online, so she can speak more and answer any more questions regarding the items that were discussed. But specifically, what I'd like to just kind of clarify or just kind of state is, a lot of the conditions are for the life of the project, and they're not specific towards a one-time approval. And that's what we want a lot of clarification on. At what point is that conditional use permit going to be approved by the county? There are some items specifically, and like they reference all the SEPA items, but one SEPA item is for DNR approval. Well, we can't get DNR approval until we get land use approval from the county and it's signed off on for the for DNR permit. So we need to have some flexibility and discussion there.
Yeah, no, understood. And this is actually all set forth in the Benton County Code in terms of how this is structured. Uh-huh. So I don't have discretion to deviate from kind of this basic structure. So once I issue a permit, that is a final decision.
Mm-hmm.
Under the county code, because I'm the final decision maker on that. But there is this basically 1 year period, and yet their extensions are granted. That's not unusual if you need more time, and oftentimes it is because there's another agency that mm-hmm. the applicant is trying to work with, and it's I think in all cases where an applicant has needed an extension, almost all they've always been granted. So it's not an issue typically I haven't, in my experience, haven't seen any issues with that. But there is this process in there, and I think it is because there are a number of permits that are abandoned each year, and they just don't, for whatever reason, the applicant ends up not wanting to proceed. So it's all set forth in code. So that's kind of the reason for it. And all of the conditions apply to the project for the life of the project. And it's understood some things obviously happen, you know, may happen later, timing-wise. But
okay. But our main point is just when that actual permit is issued, you know, and what needs to be satisfied at that point.
Yeah, and you can clarify that with staff, but, you know, obviously if there's something that, I mean, it depends on what the condition is exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's, I think, fairly straightforward, and there's not too much confusion over what needs to happen for it to formally issue.
Okay. And then for item six in the memo regarding operation of hours, they just want to have some flexibility on if things change. There's a lot of unpredictability in the market and projects that come up and need to have the ability to modify operations at that time.
Yeah, on that one, I think I'm keeping the record open anyway, but there hasn't really been time for the applicant to confer with staff on that just because the letter came in yesterday. So I think what I'll do on that is if the applicant can confer with staff, because I do need hours of operation and so forth to understand the scope of the proposal and what's being requested. But I suspect that if you all chat with staff, you all can sort that and then just submit a kind of a supplement on, you know, what the actual hours of operation are. So.
Okay.
I will note that we do have a hand raised online by Michelle Mercer.
Oh, okay. Ms. Mercer, do you mind if we have Ms. Mercer chime in on this particular topic? So Ms. Mercer, you may go ahead if you like.
Thank you. I was also just going to clarify for the applicant that we have in the past have had CUPs of this nature come back to make amendments as the years go on, if the hours of operation or something else changes in the nature of the hours that they're needing to operate, that they can come back and amend their CUP to expand the hours if necessary. We had one recently, and we were able to work through that with them. So just for the applicant's awareness, you do have the ability to amend this later down the line if something does change and you need to amend those hours of operation as presented.
Thank you for that clarification, Ms. Mercer.
And could that be an administrative amendment, or would it have to come back through hearing?
There is an administrative process for CUPs, but I assume because it's, well, I don't know, Ms. Mercer, I'd have to take a closer look at the code on that. I don't know if you have an answer for that.
The amendments all go through the hearing examiner, so it would have to go through this process.
Okay. And is there anything in code that requires that hours of operation be identified? And
yes, I mean, basically, I have to know the location, nature, and extent of use in order to issue the CUP. So, yeah.
Okay.
And that goes to assessing kind of compatibility, impacts, and so forth. So,
I think those are all of my comments at this time. I'd also like to introduce you to Jenna McDonald, who is representing the applicant, to provide more information on the site. Also, there's a few others from the application, Kelby Johnson, Michael McBean, and Elizabeth, who may also want to comment on the application.
Okay. Would you be the correct one to ask about setbacks? I noticed on the site plan there are 50-foot setbacks. If I could get some clarification on that.
I will.
Okay. Was it? All right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Did you have any other questions?
Not at this time. May later. But.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you can state your name for the record.
Jana McDonald.
Jana McDonald. And is that J-A-N-A?
Yep.
McDonald, is that M?
C-D-O-N-A-L-D.
Okay. Thank you. And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for your time today. I am Jana McDonald. I am currently the resource and environmental director for the company. I have worked for them and in the industry for 31 years. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the history of our company and our role and how we've operated. We've operated many facilities throughout the Northwest, multiple dozens of concrete and asphalt plants, crushers, mineral resource sites for many years in many diverse areas with a lot of unique conditions. We have sites that we have 200 feet from neighbors. We have sites that have neighbors looking down in on us, and we are very serious about our operations and being good neighbors. So I just, you know, we have a site locally here in the Tri-Cities where we literally have neighbors, you know, right across the street from us, 200 feet, and effectively operate with no complaints and have a good working relationship with our neighbors. So I want to stress the importance of how that is important to us as a company. The site has been in operation since 1976. It's been operated by American Rock or Interstate since 2001. It appears there's been maybe two land use actions on that site over the years. We have, so I wanted to make sure that the hearing examiner gets all of that record. We had some documents from 2001 and 2003, so I wanted to clarify that.
2001 would have been the CUP. Was there like an amendment or something in 2001?
It appears there was an amendment. We don't have all those documents ourselves. We've acquired the company, you know, in the last few years. So I just, you know, if we could get those as well, that would be helpful.
Okay. I'm keeping the record open for that. So yes. So if there was a permit amendment in 2003, that'd be helpful for me to have as well.
Right. So, so I just wanted to talk about, we're more than happy and appreciate the opportunity to leave the record open to have a further conversation with staff. They've been very helpful and willing to work with us. So, to be able to leave that open to discuss the hours of operation is greatly appreciated. We're fully aware of all of the Washington State noise, environmental noise ordinance, and how to comply with that. We comply with all applicable regulations and utilize noise and dust abatement controls at all of our sites as appropriate. And I think it's important for this site to realize too that as we build out the site, the crusher, concrete plant, and asphalt plant will actually sit below grade. It will not be seen from the surrounding areas on that site. That will take a process, which is why we had some concern on the one-year CUP. This is a major capital investment for us at that site. And so for us to be limited to 1 year makes it hard to spend that money, knowing that we may not get that extended. And so that's why we have great concern with that 1 year.
Yeah. And the 1 year, I mean, there are, as I noted earlier, it is not unusual for there to be permitting or other hurdles that happen, and an extension is always granted in those cases. I mean,
okay.
Those are not circumstances that are within your control.
Is that a public hearing like this, or can that be done administratively?
For
the extension.
That's all administrative. Yeah, those are all, the extensions are administrative. It never comes back to me unless the applicant act has abandoned essentially the permitting process. So okay. And I know that it's a slightly unique structure, but.
It is a unique structure. And actually once we submit our applications to even the DNR, we don't have control of their backlog and their process. So sometimes it does take longer than a year for that to happen. Essentially the same thing with, you know, the building permits. And as we've said, in the documents is, you know, that we do anticipate a full build out of that site in 5 to 10 years with, you know, we will office, shop, all those things. And so those are additional permits that will be needed. And we don't want to lose that opportunity to be able to do that and have to come back year by year, year after year. So if there's an administrative process, it makes it a little bit easier.
It's fairly straightforward. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, when it comes back before me as a proposal from staff for Nolan Boyd, it's really when the applicant it's not moving forward, you know, and because I've seen proposals where you know, there have been multiple extensions for years, and it's not until it's truly abandoned. So.
Okay.
So it's not like if you're making an investment and you're continuing to try to, that all of a sudden the permit goes away. That's not how it's.
And I guess, you know, the timing thing with the county too is I don't know how strict it is like to the date on the year, or is it just an email that says, hey, we need an extension?
I think a lot of it's staff can provide some clarification, but I think typically it's they have something in writing, but it's by email. Yeah.
It's
fairly straightforward.
Okay. The other thing I did want to talk to, and I think Justin talked briefly about it, was that we We do often, and it was something that we had supplied to the county but was not added into the findings of fact. And I know Michelle said she didn't really want to make changes to finding number 11, which I think was the one in regards to, let me double check. Oh, number 14, actually. 13, sorry. In regards to, we often do with our asphalt and concrete plants have public works contract provisions that require night work due to safety and transportation concerns on their part. And so when we work with staff on the hours of operation, we want to make sure that that's something that we can accommodate going forward. It's a benefit to us, our employees, and the general public as well. So I think that's all I had, unless you had some questions. You had indicated you had a question about setbacks.
Oh, yeah, I did want to clarify that. So it looks like the site plan is 50 feet, but I wanted to get some clarification.
Yeah, so it's 50 feet setbacks, and that is consistent with the DNR regulations. They require a 50-foot setback. That setback is can be used for reclamation if needed to for final sloping, but we can not mine, you know, within that 50-foot until final reclamation. Mm-hmm. So that is consistent with the DNR regulations.
Okay. I may have some follow-up questions, but I'll probably wait till after public comment.
And then, okay.
Yeah. All right. Anything else from the applicant? Okay, shall we move to public comment then?
This is Elizabeth Tellison, High Counsel for the applicant.
Yes, and are you providing evidence, or is this just a legal argument?
I think really just some clarity. Sorry, I'm trying to get this situated because.
Sure, I guess my question.
Not ideal.
If it's evidence,
yeah,
I need to swear you in.
Yeah, for purposes. I don't think so. I just want clarity. If I could get it.
And if
on
you
the
could,
one...
let me. Sorry, it's hard when we're online. If you could state your name again, so I get it for the record.
Yes, Elizabeth Tellison, T-E-L-L. E-S-S-E-N.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And recognizing Benton County's particularity with regard to the one-year provision, I just want to make sure that I'm looking at the right section. So I've got, for that 1 year, it's in 11.50.050D. Is that correct?
It is 1150.050, and I believe it's D. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's D.
Okay, and then for record purposes, I just want clarity again. I'm sorry, I want to make sure, but that we're leaving the record open so that we can specify which of those conditions need to be satisfied within that one-year time period, recognizing the extensions and all of that.
No, not really. The record's really being left open because there's some outstanding questions, and then there are some documents I need, and then I think there's some additional coordination with staff and the applicant that would be useful. So that's really why it's being left open. Typically, there's really never been an issue with applicants on this question over kind of the 1 year for issuance and compliance. Yeah, I may provide some clarification in my decision on that, but... the process is pretty straightforward and has been implemented by the county for as long as I can remember. So I don't anticipate there being any issues on that with that language. I know it's a little unique, so I can see how it and might raise concerns or questions on the applicant's part. But again, it just goes back to it's a way to ensure that you don't have permits on the book where the applicant ends up just abandoning the proposal and not going forward with it.
Of course, and we understand that completely, and we fully want to cooperate with staff. And of course, your decision when it comes down, just again, clarity being the most important thing going forward for us. As I read D, it does say which conditions have to be satisfied, recognizing there will be conditions that apply for the life. And kind of going back to Justin's comment, that for instance we need land use approval before we can even go to DNR and get the rest of those permits, and so it is important to us that we have specificity on which conditions need to be satisfied before the permit itself will be issued, recognizing there is the final decision, but the permit issuance is ultimately trails. So we just want to make sure that we know what those checkboxes are. We respect fully that this is something the county does all the time. We do not. And so we just want to make sure that we are consistent with what those expectations are. So that's why it's being kind of focused on, because we certainly don't want to miss anything or have to come back on something that was, for whatever reason, not clear. So thank you all for your time, and we really appreciate you helping us through this process. I think that is all I have, unless anyone else has a question.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tillerson. I don't think I have any questions for you at this point.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else for the applicant before we turn to public comment? Okay, and I'll probably have some follow-up questions anyway, so if there's anything lingering, there'll be an opportunity for that. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone in the hearing room or online who would like to comment on the proposal? And maybe, why don't I start with folks who are in the hearing room, and then we'll move to those who are online just for... we're all the same. Okay, so let the record reflect, no one in the hearing room who wishes to comment on the proposal. I'll turn to those online. Is there anyone online who would like to comment on the proposal?
I do not see anyone online.
Okay, let the record reflect there was no one online who would like to present on the proposal. Okay, so there were no additional questions that rose during public comment. I did have a question about one of the written comments that came in earlier, and this had to do with the site. It's about a half mile away, I believe, and the individual who commented, I think it's perhaps Ms. Knutson, she's using her site for ecological purposes. I think she had mentioned the Frugenus hawk. And so I just wanted to check with the applicant if they had any kind of, I know the letter that was submitted addressed that, but I didn't know if the applicant had anything else to add on that. Yeah, if you could, and just restate your name, just so we know who's talking when you look at the written record, and you remain under oath.
Okay. This is Jana McDonald. The applicant doesn't have any additional information or comments on that. I think the SEPA covered it, and the lack of comment, as was stated in the letter by Elizabeth, is that, you know, Fish and Wildlife and or the county, nobody commented on that as any kind of protected or species or issues on that end, and so we have left it at that. And I don't know if Elizabeth wants to add anything to that. We are fairly far away from the property.
Yeah, no, it sounded like it was, I assume she measured by the crow flies, but it sounded like it was half a mile is what she said. So you all are not right adjacent to it. So,
right.
Yeah.
So no, we didn't have any additional concerns or on our end.
Okay.
So. And it does look like Elizabeth does have her hand raised.
Oh, okay. And Ms. Tillerson, you wanted to provide some clarification on that?
Not necessarily clarification, but just for the record purposes, to the mm-hmm. extent okay. that there has not been an appeal of the MDNS under SEPA, that some of these environmental, at least labeled environmental issues, are now well set under SEPA as far as impacts are concerned. So I just wanted to make the record clear on that point. And then unless you have other particular concerns about the comments, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, the SEPA was not appealed, so no SEPA issues. I have no jurisdiction over the SEPA issues. It would just be the critical areas ordinance at chapter 1514. So that would be. Okay, I think, let me see if I have any other questions for the applicant. I think we're getting the CUP materials, both the original and amended, the SEPA checklist, probably the addendum to the application. And then we're leaving the record open so the applicant can confer with staff on the hours of operation. Those questions. How long would it make sense to hold the record open? Is a week sufficient, or?
I think it would depend on the availability of the applicants to come meet with us and sit down and.
And it could be 2 weeks. I mean, it's fine. It's defer to you all on kind of what just what
County staff would prefer 14 days, please.
14 days, but.
I was going to say, I'm fine with, I was going to ask for, 10 to 14 days is fine, as long as it's clear that the record's only left open to discuss the hours of operation.
There's a number of documents.
Okay, and the documents, so if there's other questions that come back.
I don't want to see any new issues raised, because then that means, the applicant probably will press additional time and so forth. So it really, the record is limited to kind of the documents that I've asked for information on. That said, I mean, if anyone wants to submit something, they can certainly do that. And there might be a question on whether, how to deal with that.
But, no, I think 14 days works for us.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So so today's April 19th. So 14 days would be May 3rd, if I calculate that right. Sometimes I'm not so good on date, but May 3rd. And usually I just put 5 p.m. kind of close of business. And email transmittals are fine, and they would just go to the planning department, and then they'll forward the additional materials on to me.
And I just want to clarify, it's I think, Justin, if you need help finding the previous land use actions, there might be like the very original one from 1976 and stuff. I think he has those numbers if you need some help.
I think I found them in our files.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be hard depending on how far back materials go. So, all right. I think those are all the questions I have. Any additional procedural questions or anything else before we adjourn? Okay. All right. Well, as noted, record is kept open for 2 weeks. And then I issue, of course, a decision within 10 business days of that, possibly earlier, since I'll have some familiarity with the proposal while I do at this point. And then that is emailed to the planning department, and that is sent to the applicant and any parties of record. So, all right. I think that's it. Thank you all. We are adjourned.
Thank you.